Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're trying to get to the bottom of this, and I don't have a good understanding of it. I don't have a good reasoning for it. It honestly just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So let me give you guys sort of the update on what the last couple of days have been, if you have missed any of it. So at the very beginning of the week, we found out that Josh Simmons is going to go on the IR. I think he's done for the rest of the season. Juwan Taylor also has not been practicing. So there is an open left tackle position and an open right tackle position. Now, I think a lot of people believed that Jalen Moore would play left tackle. That feels like the job that they brought him in to play, and then the draft changed for them, and then Wanye would go over to play right tackle. I mean, right tackle is what Wanye played in college. But we got word earlier this week that, hey, if something happens, we're actually going to put Jalen Moore on the right side, and we're going to put Wanye on the left side. Well, immediately, Nate Taylor snuffed this out and said, you know what, this doesn't make a lot of sense.
My theory is this has to be a smokescreen, right? Because technically you did put it on tape because the game did not go the way you anticipated in Dallas, right? Hey, if Juwan Taylor gets hurt at halftime or he can't go in the second half, okay, well, the answer is, hey, you have to play Jalen Moore. He is your next guy up. Okay, totally makes sense. Uh-oh, there goes Josh Simmons' wrist. So, all right, well, we don't have, you know, we have Wanye Morris. We could do that. But I think it's a philosophical question about what Andy Heck and Andy Reid want from their backup tackles, where it's, hey, if you're on the field already, we don't necessarily want to switch positions in the middle of the game based on, you know, practice reps and all the things that happen, you know, leading up to the game. By the way, they only had one practice from, you know, beating the Colts to playing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. All right, well, let me just put that out there in a press conference so that maybe, I guess maybe the Houston Texans will, like, treat it with, you know, validity. But, like, I understand why fans are, you know, up in arms about the possibility of Wanye Morris at left tackle when we've actually seen him play pretty well at right tackle on occasion, especially during his rookie season.
Everybody around me was saying that this didn't make a lot of sense. Nate Taylor was saying it, and he's going to be in studio coming up in an hour. He was pretty emphatic this didn't make a lot of sense. Mitchell Schwartz also said this didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it really didn't. So today, when Andy Reid spoke to the media, this is from Pete Sweeney. Quote, Andy Reid said that it would be a stretch for Trey Smith and Juwan Taylor to play, even though Trey Smith is further along than Juwan Taylor. They're not playing. Andy Reid also went on to say that backup tackles Jalen Moore and Wanye Morris worked at both spots this week. So I think a lot of what Nate Taylor had to say has been proven to be true. Hey, both of these guys are working on both spots. We're saying one thing. Maybe something goes different. So I'm on Nate's side here that this is a smokescreen. I don't really want to have the conversation on whether or not you think this is going to work, because I understand there's varying degrees of confidence in the Chiefs' plan. But I will say this. More so than Patrick Mahomes, more so than Chris Jones, more than Travis Kelce, more than any other player who is playing in this game. I can tell you who wins solely based on how we feel about Wanya Morris on Monday morning. There is not a single player in this game that will determine a win or a loss for one side or the other more than Wanya Morris. If Wanya plays well, I think the Chiefs win this game. Because on that side, Wanya is either neutralizing Will Anderson or neutralizing Danielle Hunter, and what would appear to be one of the Chiefs' biggest weaknesses is not considered to be a weakness. Hey, you held your own over there. Hey, Pat stayed upright. He stayed protected. He was able to get time in the pocket and find his receivers. If Wanya plays well, I find it difficult to believe that Kansas City is going to lose this game. If Wanya struggles and it's frustrating and you are ready to throw your remote at the television in the second or third quarter, or you're screaming to get this bum out of here, if those are the kind of words and things that you are saying, and maybe in more colorful language, you know it's not going well for the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, I firmly believe there is not a single player in this game that will more determine the winner than how Wanya Morris plays. More than either of the team's quarterback, more than any skill position player. If the Chiefs win this game, they win this game because Wanya is either a neutral for them or a potential positive for them. I don't think they win this game if we are on Monday talking about how poorly Wanya Morris played, because that means you had a lot of breakdowns offensively.
I mean, what an about face by the Chiefs. I mean, the plan was, listen, we're going to have Wanya left, we're going to have Jalen Moore at the right, and I will credit Speck and many others. Me and you saw this report on Wednesday and went, okay, whatever, like, backup tackles, so it goes. There was like a three-alarm fire for other people, and now, 48 hours after saying that's the plan, as well, actually, they've both been practicing at both positions, and, you know, Jalen can be on the left, and Wanya can be on the right. If the Chiefs need this much gamesmanship to confuse the Texans, they're in trouble. This is a lot of parlor tricks designed to confuse a 6-6 football team. It's a lot. But on the 10,000 foot, you know, overarching view, I agree with you. If Wanya Morris can be, I don't think he can be good, but if he can be just a net neutral, yeah, he gives up some bad plays, but overall, it's not a disaster on the left side or right side or wherever they're going to put him. The Chiefs should be okay, but I can't get over the 180 the Chiefs have done in 48 hours about their offensive line play. And I know this was not the point of the conversation. The amount of goofy smokescreen chit-chat the Chiefs are doing against the 6-6 Texans is really stupid to me. Like, we have never seen the Chiefs try to play games with the injury report like this or their starting lineup like this. This is a lot of, you know, look at my right hand, ignore left hand. That's not how the Chiefs have ever operated, and it's kind of goofy to me.
Someone on the text line sends this in. CDOT, if Wanya struggles, that's on Andy for leaving him on an island and not giving him help and or adjusting the game plan. Now, I told you guys I was only going to give you the how I think the Chiefs can win, but what you are describing right there is my fear in this. Because you want to know what I've seen Andy do, and you want to know what I've seen the Chiefs do in these scenarios, is leave Mike Rimmers out to dry. What I've seen them do is Joe Tooney clearly needed help in the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs just kept doing wrong in the first half of that game and never adjusted. So honestly, that is my fear in this. That is why I am picking the Houston Texans in this, is what you are describing. If Wanya Morris is playing like Wanya Morris and Danielle Hunter is getting the better of him, or Will Anderson is getting the better of him, what is their plan B? If their plan A doesn't work, because you got to have a plan A going into it. You know how disruptive Will Anderson is. You know how disruptive Danielle Hunter is. You said it this week. So you know how good that they are. What is your plan if Wanya struggles? Are you willing to scrap your game plan and go with plan B or plan C and do whatever you feel like you need to do to win? Because I have seen them in these scenarios where they got an offensive lineman that is overwhelmed. They just leave them out there and hope that it fixes itself. And it doesn't fix itself. And we all just end up frustrated and mad at their game plan and their scheme. That's why I say in this one, the Chiefs know exactly what is about to happen. It is not catching anybody off guard. Maybe you went into the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl super confident, and then you quickly realize, oh boy, they are in trouble. Maybe you felt that way against the Philadelphia Eagles. You cannot have that level of overconfidence knowing your offensive line situation and knowing how good their defensive line is. So nothing should catch you off guard on Sunday about what they want to do. They got two dogs, and they're going to tell them, go get them. Sick them. You know what they're going to do in this scenario. So if that means that Travis Kelce's got to stay in and help you block, that's what he needs to do. If that means that Noah Gray needs to step in, if that means Jared Wiley, if that means you got to use some bigger packages, you got to do it by any means necessary. Because if you were telling me it's one-on-one in the island and it's Wanya Morris against one of those two, you already know how that outcome's going to turn out for Kansas City.
I will say, as someone who's picking Kansas City, I have seen this too often, and you're correct. It has been Mike Rimmers. It has been Joe Tooney. There have been games with Kingsley Suamataia where they've said, go get him, buddy. You got it. All you. And it has always, always gone poorly. Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, we believe, are really, really smart offensive minds, especially Andy Reid. You're going to have to scheme it up to stop Will Anderson. You're going to have to scheme it up to stop Danielle Hunter. Because if the plan is we do what we do with backup tackles, well, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson are going to do what they do, and that's absolutely wreck games. I would point to the Buffalo one as a massive example of how Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson can ruin a team's day.
Coming up on the other side, let's switch gears. We'll talk about the World Cup. We know all of the groups, and we have an idea who could potentially play at Arrowhead. We'll take a closer look at it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Rodney Marsh. He is with Grumpy Pundits. They own SiriusXM FC covering the World Cup. Rodney, happy to have you join us today. Really appreciate your time.
No worries. Hello, boys. How's it all going?
Doing fantastic. Rodney, let's start with this. What did you make of the United States draw in the World Cup?
I love it. I love the draw. It could have been so much worse. First game out was, of course, Australia. Now during the World Cup, guys, there's always a what we call whipping boys, which means that there's a team that's got really no chance of going through. Everybody's going to beat them or take points off them, and I think Australia is that team in the group. I think it's a great draw for America, and I guarantee you America will get out of this group.
Right now, we're talking to Rodney Marsh. We're taking a closer look at the World Cup. Every year, there's always that group of death in every single tournament. Do you think there is one in this one? What group are you looking at as a potential group of death?
Well, as the groups unfolded and we saw Norway come out. Norway, who just beat a few weeks ago, beat Italy 4-1. and Erling Haaland, greatest goal scorer in the world. Norway come out. France come out second. France with Kylian Mbappe. So you've got Norway, France, and then Senegal in the same group. That's a tough group, that is. But there's one thing to remember, guys, and that is this. Even if you finish third in your group, there's still a path to get through.
Ronnie, do you see a potential sleeper in this World Cup? Is there a country or two that isn't one of the marquee names that you could see making a deep run?
Great question, because if you look at prior World Cups, there always is. There's always a team that you think, well, they've got no chance, and suddenly they come and win a game or two. I think some of the African countries, I think Ghana, I think Ivory Coast, I think Egypt, are all in with a chance of blooding a nose or two. So I like the draw. I think the draw has been a very, very good draw. Not least of all, my boy is England. I was born in England, as you probably know. And England have got Croatia in the first round and a pretty easy draw all around. So at the moment, I'm very pleased. America's got a pretty good group, and so does England.
Right now, we're talking to Rodney Marsh here for a couple more minutes. He is with the Grumpy Pundits on Sirius XM FC, covering soccer, talking about the draw that we had in the World Cup. You've mentioned it a couple of times. What would you say is the expectations for the United States? I feel like this is a World Cup that they have had circled as a program for, it feels like, the last 12 to 8 years or so, that they were really looking at this one on their home soil, all of their talent kind of coming together at the same time. What do you think is a realistic expectations for the United States men's soccer team?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you guys heard Coach Pochettino after the draw coming out. He was interviewed, right after the draw. He was very cautious, you know, praising everybody, saying everybody is good teams and it's all going to be difficult and all those, the correct things to say for coaches these days. I think he's pleased. I think he's pleased. And I think at the bare minimum, America comes runner-up and an automatic qualifier as runner-up. So, it's a good draw, and I'm full of expectations. The thing is, of course, is what players will be available for the squad. You know, we've been seeing Christian Pulisic. He's been injured recently, and the left-back, Anthony Robinson, plays for Fulham in the Premier League. He's been injured, a couple of other injuries. So we've just got to hope that in the next few months all those players get healthy.
Last thing here, Rodney, and we appreciate your time. There's going to be a lot of people who are getting an introduction to international soccer. I'm one of those people. I've never been to a game like this. And with the World Cup in my backyard, I plan on going to one of these games. I'm sure you've been to one of these games before. What can people expect? What does having the World Cup mean?
Well, I don't know if you've seen much today on TV, but I've been following it all day long with a draw, of course, in Washington. And I've been following it. And I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if this is public knowledge yet, but I'm going to tell you anyway. They've already sold more tickets from this World Cup than in the history of the World Cup. And there's 6 months to go. So it's going to be enormous. And I urge everybody, if you can, in the games, you've got games there. Is it one or how many games you got there? Do you know?
I think we have six.
Crikey, six games. Well, I urge anybody that it's a once in a lifetime thing, you know, and you get the best players in the world, of course, and this is going to be Lionel Messi, who, by the way, Lionel Messi are playing in the Major League Soccer final tomorrow night in Miami against Vancouver, but it plays for Argentina, final World Cup for Lionel Messi. So look out for all those things, but look out for America.
Absolutely. That is Rodney Marsh joining us on the show. He's with the Grumpy Pundits with Sirius XM FC, breaking down the World Cup draw. We will find out which teams play at Arrowhead Stadium coming up this weekend. Rodney, great stuff. We look forward to catching up with you down the road as we get closer to the World Cup.
No worries.
Absolutely. That is Rodney Marsh joining us on the show today. I like how he told us he was from England. I would have never guessed. I would have never been able to put two and two together on where Rodney Marsh was born. He said, crikey. That's what he said.
He found out Kansas City had six.
He's like, what? Six? Wow. What? That's what he said. What? That was good. Everybody seems really happy about the draw that the United States had. I hope that it works out for everybody. That's what I really hope. I hope that it works out exactly how the United States soccer wants for it to work out. Sitting there watching it with Rob and watching it with Parks. I mean, they were excited. Australia. We got Australia. Who else did they get?
Their group is Australia, Paraguay, and then we are TBD on the final. A play-in game has to be the final team.
You were excited. Mm-hmm. Who's the second best team in the United States region?
It could be the play-in teams. It could be Turkey.
We just don't know who it is yet.
I think Turkey would be the second best team, but I actually think Paraguay is easier. The fact that Rodney Marsh, and he knows more about soccer than I do, the fact that Rodney Marsh called Australia the whipping boy of the group, and they were the second team in the United States group, only inspires more confidence for the United States to not only come out of this group, but win their group in the World Cup, which I'm begging you as a U.S. soccer fan, please, on home soil, do not embarrass the country. Just don't embarrass us.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to switch gears and we're going to be joined by Michael Swain, who covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Let's talk about the news today. Now, I feel like we've said this a couple of times, and Bill's smart. Bill gave himself a potential out. He said that he expects Darren Peterson to play, barring a setback. So a setback could happen, and then Darren Peterson not play in the game. He could say, well, I told you guys, if something happens, he couldn't play. But he has not spoken like this. I expect him to play, barring a setback. So, Rob, I am going into it. As someone who just got their tickets today, I mean, I was going to go if Darren Peterson was playing or not. I was just going to be there. But I am going into it with the expectation that Darren Peterson is playing on Sunday against Missouri. You are a Kansas fan. You bought the tickets with the expectation of you also want to see Darren Peterson. Are you expecting him to play in this game?
Yes. And this is not insider knowledge. We'll have Michael Swain in about 5 minutes. He covers Kansas. He's more on the know than me. But if you're going to tell me that you don't want to play Darren Peterson because 3 games in 3 days in Vegas, but he's getting better and getting closer, fine. If you're going to tell me he was close but can't play against UConn, but guys, he's 90-95%, just needs a little more time, don't love it, but fine. If you're now telling me on the Friday before the Missouri game, the expectation is, barring a setback, he is playing, I am going into T-Mobile Center on Sunday, the expectation that number 22 is going to be on the court. And I will be frustrated if I see on social media or at the arena, oh, something happened and he's not playing. Because whether it's earlier or whatever it was, Self has truly done a poor job of messaging this and has made fans turn on Peterson. And if you're now saying he's, barring a setback, going to play, then Self needs to have him out there playing on Sunday, period.
And Peterson can also fly in and be the hero in this.
Like, he can go out, and if he plays to his ability, he is going to be a problem for the Tigers. And you, as a Missouri fan, know if he plays like the number one overall pick,
they lose.
Missouri could be in real trouble.
Yeah, no, Missouri probably loses that game. I mean, if Derek Peterson goes out there and drops 25 points, like, there are two players that Missouri, I think, is going to really struggle to guard. They're going to struggle to guard Darren Peterson. I mean, a lot of teams are going to struggle to do that. They're also really going to struggle with Florey. They've got decent bigs. They don't have future NBA bigs. That is exactly what Kansas has. So with those two individuals, I think Kansas or Missouri can manage everybody else on that team. I'm not worried about Trey White. I'm not worried about Melvin Council. Not
you
worried
love
about
a Melvin
guys.
Council.
Not at all worried about them. But I think the excitement for you is you have seen what those guys have looked like when things had to kind of be around their own orbit. What does it look like when Darren Peterson is there? He's taking a lot of the attention, and now Trey White is able to play a little bit more freely where the best wing defender is not on Trey White. What does Melvin Council look like when he doesn't need to score 15, 20 points, when he can just kind of take the back seat and play a very different role? That seems like, to me, the hope of KU as they head into this game. We were joined by Dennis Gates earlier this week, and we asked him if he understands what this game means to the fans.
It's not just another game. It's not. It's just what it is. This is not a normal preseason game for anybody. And obviously the tradition, the history, the memories, the highlights from those games, there are some spectacular narrations of our play-by-play guys being able to illustrate some great fandom going on. It is a rivalry that's top-notch at the top of college basketball that I feel don't get enough credit for what it means to both fan base and in general, both institutions. So for me, that's what I've been educated on. That's what I'll continue to educate my staff, my players, and obviously look forward to the opportunity to play a great game and create some great memories. It's the 272nd all-time meeting, and it's been tremendous thus far in terms of my tenure here. So I'm just thankful to be the Whitten family head men's basketball coach and be a part of such a rivalry in college basketball.
I've been to the last three games between these two teams and heading to the game on Sunday. It will never be how it was when you and I were kids or when they were in the same league for a lot of different reasons. But if you got a chance to go, and Rob, you've been to these games, it doesn't matter what conference they're in. When they are in the gym together, man, all of those feelings really come back. And the thing that I've really been stressing as a Missouri fan is, man, you got to let these new group of college kids, they got to create their own memories. You and I have already had 30, 40, 50 years to develop those memories. I was there when Marcus Denman hit those shots. I remember what it was like when they called the foul to put Tyshawn Taylor on the line. I remember when Crudy missed the free throws and Thomas Gardner scored 40. I remember the pain in watching Kansas win the last game at the Hearn Center. Like, you got to let these new college kids, they have to develop their own memories, and that can only happen over time. So we got to let these two schools play each other for another 5-10 years, and this is part 2.0 of the rivalry, and we'll have new stories to tell. I'm telling you, being at the game last year and as a Missouri fan, watching them dominate Kansas from start to finish, storm the court, and sing Mr. Brightside, that is a memory that I hold very near and dear to my heart. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Somebody that was there for that shellacking last year that the Tigers put on KU, it is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. Michael, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely, Michael. Let's start with this. I think Darren Peterson is going to play. Rob thinks Darren Peterson is going to play. Do you think he is going to play?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I'd love to say, yeah, he is. Look, if you were to go and read specifically the quotes, right, that Bill Self said today, I mean, he is putting it out there, I think, as much as blatantly possible that Darren Peterson can play on Sunday. You know, he said, I think the quote was, he should play, and then later on said, you know, when he does play on Sunday, it's one of those where I think Self's making it abundantly clear that this kid is ready to go. Will he play? I don't know. I think there is a good shot. I definitely feel better about this right now than I did about UConn a couple of days back. But, man, it's just one of those situations where when you've got a kid that I think has been as well managed as anybody going back to high school. You know, you can go back to his high school recruitment. He took all the visits, right? Everyone knew he was going to Kansas, but he took all the visits. And you just look at someone that, again, like over time, everything has been picture perfect. And so far this year, right, two games, he looked legit. Some NBA mock drafts are coming out. He's still number one. So there's a lot to protect here if you're someone close to Darren Peterson and making sure that he is available to play and does not have a major hamstring injury that would rule you out, right? If you have a major one, you know, you're talking 2-3 months, and that's basically your whole season. And then you're worried about, okay, what's the rehab process like? So it's one of those situations where I think Self wants the kid to play. I think Darren wants to play, but I think those close to him are kind of trying to, you know, make sure that he is fully ready to go. So when he goes out there, he can play to his talent level, which is the number one pick in next year's draft. And then he can do it for the rest of the season. There's not this yo-yo of, oh, he plays and then he doesn't. Because that can really mess with the rhythm and really mess with the team overall if they don't know what to expect. So long answer to short question, but I think this is probably the closest he's been to being able to play. But, man, I'm kind of in that mode of when he is out on the floor in the Kansas jersey and the ball's tipped off, that's when I'll officially be ready to be like, yep, okay, he's actually playing.
So let me just tell you this, Michael, kind of what I've been saying on the show has been this. If he's injured, that's one thing. Like, if you are injured, can't go, that's another thing. But I think there is an expectation for athletes to play when they're hurt, especially when they are now being compensated. This isn't like it was 10 years ago. Darren Peterson is a millionaire to play basketball at the University of Kansas. So I think whenever Coach Self throws terms out there like he's 90-95%, man, the expectation if you're an athlete and you're 95% healthy is to play in this. So I just think the messaging has been a little bit off in this thing. I have no clue what percentage he is. You have no clue what percentage he is. But I think when fans hear, hey, this guy who's making a whole lot of money is 95% to play, we got a game against UConn where if you play, we think we can win this game, but you can't go. I think that's just created a weird relationship between the fans and Darren Peterson heading into his college career.
For sure. And look, let's take the big picture into this too, right? This has been a interestingly managed injury from the beginning, right? Because initially it was cramps, and then it was he had a stomach bug, and then it wasn't until about the Duke game when finally it was said, okay, yeah, it's a hamstring strain. Now, I can understand, right? If you're like, man, this kid's have some cramp issues, and it's usually his hamstring, like, let's go, that's weird. And then it takes a while to figure it out. But then I think just the way that the injury was conveyed from the get-go, compiled with, man, soft tissue stuff is just hard. I think that's also created some of this just question of the will he, won't he. And then when your head coach comes out and says he's 95% when you're playing a top five team in Allen Fieldhouse and one of the best atmospheres I've seen in Allen Fieldhouse, like, yeah, I think there is a – you can understand why people are frustrated with it. And I think on the same token, right, you can say that, man, if that was the Final Four, I think Darren plays. And I think the timing of the game and where you are in the season and what is still left to play is probably what has an influence on that. So it's just one of those situations where from the get-go, if it had been, okay, after North Carolina, hey, Darren has a hamstring injury, reevaluated 10 days, a week, we'll let you know. That maybe would have created a different environment around this injury rather than week to week, me writing an update every single time Bill Self talks about what he has to say about the injury, when instead, you know, if from the get-go it's, hey, or once the hamstring strain happens, hey, you know, we think after the player's there, he'll be able to play. And I just think that some of the way that the messaging has been conveyed has created an environment where, yeah, you know, fans can get frustrated by right. what is said after the UConn game, you know?
No, for sure. Absolutely. Right now we're talking to Michael Swain, who covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Michael, I say this as a broadcaster, not as a Missouri fan. This KU team is so much more likable than last year's team. They're a lot more just fun to watch than last year's team. I don't know how overly talented this KU team is, and I think they have some obvious flaws, but this is a team that I think Bill is enjoying coaching. They're a team that I think plays hard. They're a team that I think gives effort and likes playing together. And that's a good foundation to turn things around. And then when you add the potential number one overall pick, KU's got a chance to be decent this year.
Yeah, and here, let's use last year's comparison, right? That you mentioned the Missouri game right as I was jumping on. Okay, look at last year's Missouri game. How do you get blown off the floor in a rivalry game and not have it look like some of your guys are trying, right? That was the issue with last year's team. There were just games where it was like KU just decided it didn't want to play basketball that day. I don't think that will ever be an issue with this year's KU team. There are too many guys that are just straight-up competitors, right? You know, look, Melvin Council can have some issues shooting the ball. Okay, but that dude plays at 100 miles an hour every minute he's on the floor, and he's playing 38 minutes, right? Trey White, you know, just consistently has carried this team when Darren's been out. And, you know, you can go up and down the roster, right, of guys that have really competed, right, people that were overlooked by, like, El Marco Jackson or Jamar McDowell. Going into the year, I would have said, okay, hey, those are your eighth or ninth men, and if you're having to play those guys 25 minutes, you're in serious trouble. Well, KU just beat Tennessee last week with Jamari being a 30-minute player. So you can just look at this team, and it just fits what you've seen Self's teams be in the past. They are ultra-competitive. They work their tails off on both ends of the floor. Is it always pretty? No, most definitely not pretty. But, man, it just fits what Self's mentality has been at Kansas for so long, and I think that's what made last year and the year before that so different was the fact that the leader of those teams was Hunter Dickinson. And as much as you can say about Hunter being a skilled player, being incredibly talented, he just produces every week. He does not have that same dog mentality that some of the guys on this year's team have. And so that's the biggest difference that I see.
That is our guy, Michael Swain, joining us on the show today to get you ready for Sunday's matchup against Missouri as KU and Missouri meet at T-Mobile Center. Michael, do you have a favorite Border War memory? Like if somebody was like, hey, what's your favorite memory? Do you have one?
Well, I didn't grow up in the area, so I was not exposed to it until really the basketball rivalry got renewed. So I would say the game, I think it was Grady Dick, maybe that season when they went and won in Columbia the first time, right? It was played in Columbia in a long time, and the atmosphere around the game was awesome, right? Fans were hyped pregame. You got Eli Drinkwitz with some famous signs, right, you know, in the student section. That's one of those that I think is really cool because it just felt – like the hostility that you don't necessarily feel when you go to some of these Big 12 arenas. And I think that is definitely one of those that's always stuck with me.
Yeah, Michael, you and I have completely different memories from being at that game, because I remember in the first like 3 minutes of the game thinking, yo, Missouri about to get pummeled in this game. And that is exactly what happened. So you and I just got different memories when it comes to the Border War. Michael, always great to catch up with you, man. We'll catch up with you down the road whenever Darren Peterson gets back on the floor, my man.
Awesome. Sounds good. Hey, maybe that's Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. That is Michael Sway joining us on the show today. He said, Grady Dick, I'll never want to hear that name. Absolutely not. I was at that game. I was so fired up. This is the first time KU was back in Mizzou Arena. I'm like, man, they about to win this game. Them boys got pummeled off the jump. I was like, oh, my goodness. It was a miserable experience. No, absolutely not. I deleted that game from my mind. I left that game early. I didn't want no parts of that game. Absolutely no parts of it. We got Nate Taylor coming up in 20 minutes. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get to Nate Taylor. He is going to be here coming up at the top of the hour. Let's talk about Sunday Night Football. Let's get back to Chiefs and Texans. So I am already starting to make my grocery list of what the Chiefs need this offseason. Now, maybe the Chiefs end up making the postseason. Maybe they end up making a deep run. I don't have a crystal ball. But I can't really see a scenario in which I move off of these things. I think it's time for the Chiefs to get a new offensive coordinator. I know you guys were at that place at the very beginning of the season, and I was defending Matt Nagy and thought that some of the criticisms were unfair towards him, and that still might be the case. But their offense is not working in a way that it should be working, and someone usually has to answer for that. Even if this team ends up making the postseason, they lose in the second round. Man, this year was not what we expected it to be, and usually it's just time for some changes. So, near the top of my list is going to be a new offensive coordinator. I've been banging the drum now for the last couple of seasons. The Chiefs need to invest in running the football and not investing in it in Elijah Mitchell, who doesn't play for the team, or investing in it with Rashard Smith. I mean, like, using some real assets. Now, I know this is going to come up. That doesn't mean they have to get Jeremiah Love. There's other running backs available. If they get Jeremiah Love, great. But I'm not saying they got to get him. But they have to invest in the running game. The other thing that I am going to really push for is going to be they need to find their version of Danielle Hunter. Every single offseason, there are mercenaries. If you're a team that needs a wide receiver, guess who was available this past year? Davante Adams. Everybody could have got Davante Adams. We knew he still had a little bit left in the tank. The Rams went out there. They paid him. Look, they've been rewarded. He has had a phenomenal season and is one of the better receivers in the National Football League. And we knew that. Danielle Hunter, he was available for everybody to get. He was a 30-year-old pass rusher. So, yeah, you're rolling the dice a little bit. And, yes, it's going to be expensive. You're going to have to overpay for those things. They gave him a 2-year, $49 million deal. He then outplayed the first deal, and then they had to give him a 1-year extension for $35 million. Pass rush ain't cheap. So on the opposite side, no more of this Charles Omenihu on a 1-year deal. No more of this Mike Dana. You need some dogs. They need Frank Clark. That's what they need. They need Frank Clark 2.0, Danielle Hunter. So not him, but we know there's going to be a guy who's a 29 or 30-year-old pass rusher that hits the market that is available that, man, your team could desperately use. You want to know a guy who the Chiefs really could have used this year? Who has been just available every single season. Man, Jadeveon Clowney would have been one of those kind of guys. He has 4 sacks this season. Jadeveon Clowney would be second on the Chiefs in sacks if he was on this team. Now, I'm not telling you he's some great pass rusher because I don't think he's that, but I'm just talking about that kind of mentality. They need to go get somebody who is a dog, and that guy's going to cost them a little bit of money, or that guy might not be in their usual, hey, these are the guys that we go get. But, man, you could have got Jadeveon Clowney this year on a 1-year, $3.4 million deal. Now, he's not having a dynamic season. He has 4 sacks. But could you imagine how you felt about this defensive line if on the other side you had a guy like Jadeveon Clowney who might have 6 or 7 sacks this season? You feel drastically different about this pass rush. So one of the things that I want the Chiefs to stress, no, they're not getting Will Anderson. You got to have a top 5 pick to get him. He was the 3rd pick in the draft. But what you need is a guy like Danielle Hunter, and that guy's available. Take some of those coins in free agency and that you've spent on center and that you spent on right guard and you spent on a middle linebacker in Nick Bolton. Take some of that money and you can go get yourself a pass rusher. Go get yourself somebody opposite George Karlaftis and Chris Jones with a proven track record of being able to get after the other team's quarterback. That's what I want them to do.
Let me ask you a question. And I if this comes off negative, so be it. Pass rusher, even the 1-year mercenary, they aren't free. They tend to be expensive. You tend to be in bidding wars. Maybe that's a better way to 100%. Say it. You tend to be in bidding wars for the mercenary. Are the Chiefs going to have enough money to fix that and the other problems they have? Because be honest, for the first time in a long time,
I think that's their biggest problem, and I don't think it's close.
Because
sorry to cut you off, running back, that is not something you need to solve in free agency.
That's fair.
Spend a pick. Over the last couple of years, you spent 1 draft pick in running back over the last 3 seasons. You spent 1. So if this team is going to have a decent pick, let's say they get the 21st overall pick, right? Let's say they're the 21st overall pick. Maybe you don't get that pass rusher, but for the most part, the things that you really need in the NFL, they aren't cheap. If you need really good quarterback play, it's not cheap to acquire it, or you need to be really bad to go get it for cheap. Pass rush is another one of those things. Sure, you can get lucky. Like, not all the great pass rushers in the league are top 10 picks. But when those guys hit free agency, yeah, it's going to be a bidding market because teams are kind of looking for those individuals. So I would say in terms of free agency needs, they have no bigger need this offseason than pass rush and defensive line. And they're going to have some space. Let's see what happens with Travis Kelce. Let's see what happens with Juwan Taylor. You'll have a little bit of money there. We know there's going to be other natural roster turnover and attrition. I'm guessing the Chiefs at some point make a trade. You don't potentially miss the playoffs and think you're running it back with that same team. So we're going to have a completely different team that's going to St. Joe. And one of those things needs to be they brought in somebody and your one goal is, hey, we need you to get after the other team's quarterback. We're not dialing up blitzes for you. Your expectation is you're going to beat your guy on your side and be a disruptor. And right now, for as good as George Karlaftis is, for as good as Chris Jones is, they do not have a disruptor on their defensive line. And they're spending a lot of money to have one of those.
I agree. That is top need. Now, I think, like I was going to say, for the first time in a long time, usually Chiefs go into offseason with like, oh, they need to do one thing. And you feel like they'll knock it out.
I may have a couple things I need to get done this offseason, and I don't think any of them are cheap. You're right. Running back is one I think is cheap. That's a relatively easy fix. No money. But they're going to lose Hollywood Brown. They're going to lose Juju Smith-Schuster. Jalen Royals might not be a real thing. We don't know. We've never seen him. They probably need to add a wide receiver. Even third wide receivers, they aren't giving away for free. They're going to need a corner. Like, they maybe not Jalen Watson, but they're going to another body out there. Are you happy with their safety play this year? I'm not saying Jaden Hicks has been bad, but it could be a position you upgrade.
For sure.
Leo Chenal is a free agent, so you're going into next year needing a linebacker. I believe Tranquil's in the last year of a contract. Either Tranquil, I think there's an out in Tranquil's contract if it's not his final year. I hate linebacker, but you're going to need to add human bodies to the roster there. And defensive tackle next to Chris Jones is an absolute barren wasteland all season long. I don't know that just a Danielle Hunter type fixes that problem too. So there's a couple big ticket, cost some pennies options this offseason the Chiefs are going to need to fix. And I didn't even talk about depth moves yet, which they always tend to make.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess when it comes to me is, there are some things that I would deem to be big ticket items and some things that are not. Safety is not a big ticket item. Like, you don't need to spend a lot of money at safety.
The Chiefs usually do, though, by the way. Before this year, Reed and Matthew were never cheap.
You're right. I also would say running back this year. And I know I can already tell you this is going to be a fight. And I know that I've been at the forefront of banging the drum for running back. You don't have to spend a first round pick on a running back. Like, a lot of teams that have good running backs didn't spend big time. So you can either go get one in free agency. We know there's going to be a guy or two in free agency that they like. And you can also spend a draft pick. You could have done exactly what the Broncos did at running back. You could have done what the Patriots did at running back and be in a much better situation. So I don't want them now to overcorrect in certain spots. Well, last year we spent $0 on running back. Now let's spend all our dollars on running back. No, no. Let's find a medium in these things. But yeah, the only, I would say, major ticket item that they have is pass rush. That's a major ticket item. It's not cheap. You either got to find it in the draft, so you got to move up to potentially do it, or you got to be in a position where when a guy like Danielle Hunter is available on a two-year, $50 million deal, you got to just pay it. You got to pay it. And I know the sentiment might be, oh, man, we overpaid for Danielle Hunter. Yeah, you overpaid because you didn't have it. You know the analogy we make on this show. You overpaid for those headphones is because you didn't buy them at Best Buy, and now you're sitting there at the airport and you don't have any. So, yeah, it's going to cost you more. So because you missed on a first-round pick, because Mike Dana hasn't worked, because Omar Norman Lott and Ashton Gelati were hurt or didn't work out, yeah, you're not going to get hit with a tax. And the tax is going to be you got to outbid somebody. So now you go get a Bosa. You go get one of those guys that come available next year on a one-year $20 million deal, and you need that guy for your defense to work. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN, getting you ready for Sunday Night Football. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.